Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. We are joined by the gorgeous Ashika Kalara. She is the co-author of Behind Her Vision, Women of New York City, and it was a book that was released in December of 2021. I'm going to have her explain more about the inspiration behind the book and what the book is all about. But hi, how are you? And welcome to my show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I'm a fan of your podcast. We're both a fan of New York, so I know this is going to be an awesome conversation.
Yes, absolutely. And we met, was it last year? Or was it, I can't even honestly keep track of timing.
Yeah, I think it was last year.
And I wanted you to come on to my podcast because, like you said, we share this common love for New York City. And I just, like, when I received the book, it's so beautiful. So let's backtrack a little. Why don't you introduce yourself to my listeners and tell us about your relationship with New York City?
So my relationship with New York began when I was 18 years old. I started to attend school here at NYU and then continued to stay thereafter. I'm originally from Chicago and my parents often campaign for me to move back, but like many fellow New Yorkers will agree, the city is magnetic and you just can't let go that easily. I feel like I really grew up here, both emotionally, professionally, personally. And that's what a lot of what this book that I wrote with my dear friend of mine, Jade Chen, the book is called Behind Her Vision, Women of New York City. And it's really sort of a culmination of the friendship Jade and I share, where we both were sort of curious individuals, always sort of peeling back the layers and really trying to figure out the why behind every decision we were making. And we were fascinated by the incredible New Yorkers that walk and live amongst us every day and wanted to sort of understand the emotional, professional, and personal challenges that many people we admire sort of have in New York City. And that was genesis of the book. And I think it's a really amazing sort of, I guess, capsule of everything that I've experienced in New York City.
That's so beautiful. I love, love, love hearing that because I feel like I'm on the same boat as you. That is somewhat the reason why I started this podcast as well, to like talk to New Yorkers. I thought it was just fascinating that, you know, we can all come from different backgrounds, but we all have a story to tell and all of our stories are like valid and important and should be, you know, exposed in a good way. Yep. So let's talk about, how did you and Jade have this conversation initially? Like, who brought it up? How did this come about?
Yeah. So Jade and I were the kind of friends that would send each other articles about this amazing woman who was launching whatever business she might be starting, sending each other inspirational quotes on Instagram over DM. And those exchanges would often lead to like deep soul searching type of conversations amongst us. And we were always sort of the kind of people, like many New Yorkers are, searching for more personally, professionally, academically, whatever that might be. And I think over time, like, we were so fortunate to meet a wonderful mentors and role models, just kind of from coffee chats or folks that connected us. And we found ourselves having these same type of conversations with many of the women that we were meeting. And we were like, okay, we got to do something with this. Like, there's some really amazing takeaways. And we would often like meet over dinner and talk about like who we met that week or what we had picked up at work. And we were like, maybe we'll start a blog or maybe we'll start a podcast. But there was something about the idea of actually creating a tangible product that really appealed to us. And ironically, Jade had really been picking up photography over the past few years. And she has actually done a lot of really amazing like global photography from her own travels. I love to write. And we were like, okay, there might be something here. And we actually took a lot of inspiration from Humans of New York, which many folks might be familiar with. And we love the idea of sort of visualizing the world of someone that you admire in like a beautiful way and capturing New York beauty, but then also really, really digging deep on their personal story. And we wanted to kind of, I guess, portray that in the context of a book. And we thought it was a lot easier than it actually ended up being. But I'm happy to talk more about how we sort of connected with the woman that we featured and this journey. But that's sort of what got it started. It was just really friendship and deep conversation.
Yeah, that's beautiful. But I'm curious to know, like, sometimes when you have a conversation with your friends or coworkers or whoever, right, there is like the line that you go across where it's like, okay, it's no longer an idea and like, let's actually make this happen. So did you and her, like, how did you guys motivate each other and hold each other accountable to say like, okay, we're actually going to do this, and it's not just something you talk about? Because I think, you know, with girlfriends, a lot of times you talk about business, your goals, and sometimes it just stops there, especially if it's like with other people. And I'm not sure if you and her have worked in a similar capacity together, but also turning friendship into like business in a way. So tell me about that.
Yeah, that's such a great topic to talk about. And I think something that isn't spoken about enough. Firstly, there's like a couple of layers, right? It's like actually executing on an idea.
Yes.
I'm the kind of person who constantly has ideas. And so I definitely need an accountability partner to help me take it from zero to one. And I feel like Jade is someone who really thrives in that. So I'll be like, in the context of this book, I'll be like, oh my God, we should do so-and-so, or we should talk so-and-so. And she'll be like, okay, will you email them? And then I felt therefore accountable to do so, because somebody on the other side was actually waiting to see what the outcome of my idea was. And so I think what really got us going was we had read this article by Brianna Wiest, who's actually an incredible author. She originally was based in New York, but doesn't live here anymore. And hence we actually weren't able to bring her into the book, but she writes a lot of poetry. And one of her famous works is called 100 Essays That Changed the Way You Think. And it was actually a big inspiration for our book because it created a lot of thought-provoking questions for us as friends. And I actually reached out to her just because I saw her email at the end of one of her blog posts. And she was one of the first people who actually responded back to us, which was, I think, just a great indication. I think there was something about the way that we wrote our emails to these women or whatever. I think there was some authenticity in that. We were just genuinely curious to understand how this would go. And I think that's how a lot of our initial conversations and the book profiles began, was just like cold outreach from folks we were following on Instagram, or stories of people that we admired, or we heard about someone so-and-so on some article, and we would just cold outreach. And I think like 90% of this book is a product of cold outreach on email. And that automatically created like inherent accountability, because now it wasn't just me and Jade. It was like us and like these 25 other women who were a part of this project. And we felt like we had to deliver for them, because we sold them this vision of, hey, you're gonna read this book, you're going to have this story that's going to be featured in it. And we would spend hours and hours with these women, sometimes in their home or their workplaces, or really sacred places to them. And I think, yeah, we just really felt like a lot of responsibility to deliver. But we were honestly very surprised at like how many cold outreach emails we were able to send and actually hear back from. And
yeah, I love that. And I admire that, because it's like hard sometimes when you're cold emailing, you don't know who's going to respond. And the fact that you had such an overwhelming positive response just goes to show how you and Jade again approached this whole process. So I know that there are 25 women in the book. How did you pick these women, and how did you guys approach that?
So I think it initially started with like, we had these few women that we were actively following, like I said, on Instagram, where we read about them in some article. And you know, it could have been like, it started a lot in entrepreneurship, actually, because that's where my professional background is. I actually work in venture capital and so I'm constantly exposed to a lot of entrepreneurs. And so that was a familiar space to me. And, you know, we started off with that. We got some great you know, feedback and email response rates from just like the entrepreneurial demographic. And then as we started to build more momentum, we were like, okay, now we want to make sure we represent women across different right. fields, across different backgrounds, ethnic and otherwise, like, you know, just socioeconomic mm-hmm. and et cetera. And so we really were mindful of that over time. And that became a key part of our decision-making process. What was interesting though, was we'd started this project pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. And obviously, as you might gather, this was a very high touch product. Like, we needed to be in the homes of these people. We needed to like talk face to face with them. And we had sort of like this 18-month gap in between and like the peak of our project because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And over that time, we actually had lots of people leaving New York City, and they were like detached themselves from the city to some extent. And so we had to do a little bit of adjusting in terms of the folks who ended up being featured in the final product. But yeah, I would say it started off with purely curiosity. Jade and I were pretty aligned on the profiles. And then over time, we definitely wanted to make sure we mm-hmm. covered diversity in every aspect to the best of our ability in the profiles we featured.
No, I love that. And I was lucky enough to receive a copy from you, and it's so beautiful. It's on my coffee table now. I was going to show it, but obviously I'm in my co-working lounge. Yeah. Do you have a copy of it?
I do.
Yeah, I know. I think I see in the back. Yeah, it's stunning. Love it. It's like classic and just very chic.
Yeah.
So yeah, when you and I met for coffee, because, you know, I was trying to pick your brain about just like also promoting a book, since I wrote my book, but a lot of people don't talk about the things that go, not the hard work, because even hearing you speak about what you've done, I can see that there was a lot of work and dedication and effort put into it. But people don't really know that money gets involved as well. And like, us writing a book is an investment in not necessarily ourselves, but just like, I don't know, how would you phrase it? Like an investment in creativity, in service, in
I would definitely call it an investment in creativity. I think, and that creativity extends in many different ways. It's like how you create the book. And in mm-hmm. our case, it was especially complex because it was a coffee table book. So you had to, like, we learned about like paperweights and like mm-hmm. font sizes, and we purchased font. Like, it was like things I had never thought about in that context. And then also creativity in the sense of like, once the book is finished, how are you going to get it out in the mm-hmm. world? And so I think an investment in creativity makes a lot of sense. But similar to you, we had self-funded this project. Mm-hmm. We thought about pursuing, you know, a traditional publishing route, but we ended up deciding to own the entire product mm-hmm. end to end. We thought it would be a fun and interesting learning experience for us to do that. And we liked that kind of self-funding. It didn't really limit us in the types of creativity we wanted to pursue and the angles in the book. Cause I think when you do work with a traditional publisher, there is a lot more sort of, I guess, like accountability, maybe is the right word, or like there's a lot of other stakeholders involved in your creative process. And we kind of wanted to own that end to end. So for context, you know, we obviously did a lot of the photography, all the photography and the writing of the book, but we also, like I said, picked the paper weight that's in the book. We picked like the cover material and how the fonts were placed. We like designed the book with an amazing designer based in New Zealand, actually, from cover to cover. And I think it just gave us so much appreciation on like how much like happens in creating a book, whether it's a coffee table book or otherwise. But for us, it was an interesting design and writing challenge. And what was also really fascinating was we had to sort of retain the voice of the interviewee as well. And so we had obviously hours of footage, like hundreds of hours of footage from our conversations with the women that we had, but we had to like sit down and extract the top most important takeaways of these women and make sure that each of those takeaways was unique and different and like sort of told a unified story when you actually held the book in hand. And so that was also a really interesting challenge. So yeah, I think it's like, I have a whole new appreciation for the publishing industry, for authors, for designers. There's just so much that goes into it. And I know you completely agree.
Yes, for sure. But for clarification, were you also working full time while pursuing this project?
Yes, we both were. So this is like a weekend and weeknight hustle for us, which I think we were so crazy to think that we could pull it off, but somehow we did. And obviously we all experienced the pandemic, which sort of threw a wrench in our timeline and plans. And it was very interesting because when we were going out to produce the actual book, there was apparently like a nationwide paper shortage.
Right. We
struggled to find a manufacturer who would be open to like taking on our project, which was also really interesting. So yeah, we had a lot of interesting morning and evening calls with our day jobs.
Right. So we covered a lot about the challenges of writing this book. Let's shift gears and talk about the highlights.
Yeah.
What has been the moment of like feeling so proud of yourself? Was it when you and Jade received the hard copy in hand? Was it like receiving comments and feedback from the women that you featured? What was that moment when you guys were like, oh my God, we did it?
Yeah, I think it was a few moments. The first, which I'm sure as an author, you will totally agree, is like receiving that first draft and just being like, whoa, here are hundreds of pages of our work, like in hardbound copy. I remember that day very vividly. And of course, like I opened the book and then I was like, oh my God, here are six things that I need to change immediately in my next draft. But still, it was amazing to see that first like hard copy, see that tangible output. And then I think the second moment that was really moving for us was seeing our book on shelves at like Barnes and Noble and like The Strand. And one thing that people don't often know about like independent publishing is it's actually very hard to create credibility to make sure you have shelf space in stores. And I think we're like in pretty much every Barnes and Nobles at this point on the East Coast. We're hoping for national
distribution at some point.
And obviously we're at a lot of the local New York shops. And each shelf that we are on, I feel like is a truly hard fought like shelf space journey that we pursued. We worked with a distributor who helped us get that shelf space, but like finding that distributor, like telling this distributor, hey, like we believe that we have something that is like worthy of space in this market. All of that, I think, was such a challenge that I don't think we processed how hard it was. And in the journey, but like seeing it on the shelf, even today, like when a friend sends me a photo and they're like, hey, look, I'm at The Strand and I see it, like that's really moving. And then, yeah, of course, like seeing the feedback from each person in the book. I mean, that's, I think, because it was such a long journey with the pandemic and everything in between, you know, I feel like a lot of people were probably like, hey, are these girls gonna actually pull off?
And right.
You know, like having them, you know, hear the positive feedback from them was really amazing.
I love it. And, you know, my podcast is all about like being authentic and raw and just like you said in the beginning, peeling back the layers of like who people are and what the reality is doing what they do. So I want to ask you, and if you're uncomfortable, you don't have to answer, but have you and Jane made a profit off of this book yet?
We are still working towards that. I think that's a really great question. I think we have a lot of stakeholders that are in between. Like for example, like actually producing the book was quite an expensive endeavor just given like the design element that went into it. And then of course, like we have a distributor who takes a cut along the way. So it's a journey we're working towards. I think we'll be close, but like, it's still, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. And the promotion aspect is
absolutely
something we need to lean into more for sure as well.
No, and I appreciate your transparency because I think that was one thing that I truly admired when I met you, because I didn't know any other authors. And when you reached out to me, you know, about the book, I was like, oh my God, like obviously we didn't know each other, but I was in the process of getting my book published as well. And I just felt like it's an industry that, I mean, at least for me, because I'm not, or I wasn't a writer before, so I didn't know what the routes were. And there's so many, right? Nowadays you can self-publish, you can do hybrid, you can do like the traditional route. So I love that you were able to just be like, hey, this is what, you know, Jade and I did, and this is the reality of it. Because so often people either are like hush-hush about that because they're uncomfortable talking about it. And I think it's great because it was helpful for me and it gave me a reassurance, like I'm not, you know, in that like lonely boat by myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think like a lot of people have started to talk more about the fact that, hey, like, you don't make money just from selling a book alone, right?
Totally,
like,
totally.
So much more in the ecosystem. And I think you have such an amazing advantage with your community.
Mm-hmm.
But like, Jade and I didn't have that. And we are not naturally born social media gurus.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to lean a lot on like the women that were in the book as well to help us spread the message. But yeah, it's amazing how much of a community and ecosystem driven effort putting a book out in the world mm-hmm. could actually entail. And that's something that we didn't truly process until being on this journey.
Yeah. And I think it's important to also like recognize that writing a book is only like the first part. I actually feel like the everything afterwards is the more difficult part, like promoting it. And I know the book has been out
10 months. It'll be our
10 months
Thursday on December 1st. Yeah.
Okay. So with that being said, I'm not saying like there is a stopping point, right? But like, how have you and Jay talked about like the steps moving forward after, like from today on? Like, what are your goals?
For sure. I think that one thing that's really exciting to us about Behind Her Vision is that there is kind of like an everlasting, evergreen message in the book. It's, you know, even though it's about New York, I think a lot of people around the country and the world have sort of this aspirational view of New York City. And so we feel like there's so much more we can do to promote this book on a national scale, largely because of the aspirational New York aspect, mm-hmm. but also because of the topics we cover. It is rooted in vulnerability. It's rooted in an experience that like hopefully somebody can identify with out of one of the 25 women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just beautiful. And so I hope that we could leverage the holiday season for
that.
I think there's some amazing product collaborations that I know you and I have talked about, mm-hmm. like exploring along the New York Lion theme. So I know there's a lot of low hanging fruit, but both of us are still full-time employed. Jade is actually getting married in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Just like life that also happens in the mm-hmm. way, creating creative space in our minds and in our time to enable that is like the biggest challenge for us right now. But we have so many ideas. And I think a lot of that is just rooted in collaborations, because I think that's really what's the key to success. And that's what we've realized is like co-collaborating with like-minded mm-hmm. innovators and creators is like going to be what takes us to the next level.
And I'm sure it's great to have Jade by your side. I mean, not only is she your friend, but now she's your co-author. She's like your business partner. Cause I would call this somewhat of a business. You never know, right? Like, you guys are trying to build something bigger than the book itself. Yeah. So it's just nice to have somebody there. And I haven't met her, but I like love the friendship that you guys have. So yeah, it's so beautiful. My podcast is called The City Confessions. And as we are wrapping up, I would love to ask you if you can share a confession with all of us. And this can be anything, it can be surface level, it can be deep and dark. It was the key word that you mentioned just now was like vulnerability. And that was what sparked my interest in asking people what their confessions were. Because I feel like a lot of times New Yorkers, we definitely walk around with a mask. We don't have time. We're really busy. And like, we have our life together. But in reality, I feel like a lot of us have just real life human issues that we can all relate to. So Ashika, if you can share a confession with all of us, what would that be?
Yeah. So one thing that I'm really struggling with right now, and I think a lot of New Yorkers and just people can relate, is prioritization and not feeling guilty about prioritizing. And what I mean by that is like, all of us have different layers, right? We have like our family to cater to, our friends, our relationships, our work priorities, our personal passions, etc. And I feel like, especially in this phase that we are in the world, where there's like partly life on Zoom and partly life happening in real life, I'm personally struggling to keep up in like the same way that I used to. Like, I feel like I'm just constantly feeling behind and guilty about feeling behind or feeling like I'm dropping the ball in any different like level. And I wake up feeling that guilt every single day, and I'm working on like just accepting this reality. Mm-hmm. But also just like, I guess I need to rework my system or my framework mm-hmm. to have regular and like meaningful expectations that I can actually achieve. And I think that is a challenge that we're all facing as society, because there's just so much happening and so much, I feel overstimulated, I think mm-hmm. is like the right word. And I don't know how to cope with that, and something I'm nervous about mm-hmm. in the last quarter of the year.
Right. No, I can resonate with that. And I have like a follow-up question, because I read that, you know, a lot of people, their lives before pandemic was like very like structured, like their planner must be like literally from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. or whatever time it was, right? And then with COVID, a lot of people obviously took the time to reflect on their lives, to prioritize their mental health. They are being more, again, mindful of how they spend their time. So even for me, I look back at my life before and I was like, oh my God, I was so go, go, go. And I can look at it in both ways. I can look at it and say like, oh my God, I don't feel as driven, right? Because yes. I was like running myself. Yeah. But then I can look at it and say, wow, now I'm much more calm. I'm like being more present. I'm enjoying life. So it blends to the topic of like prioritization, because then I think it's like you then feel guilty. You're like, am I doing enough? Am I not doing enough? So it's a really interesting conversation. I don't think that people see that taking time for yourself, like with mental health, is still being productive.
Yes.
Like in absolutely. Life.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with that more. It's like mind-boggling to me that like a few years ago, we would like go to the gym in the morning, go to work in an office all day, and then go to happy hour and then do like have time.
Literally, I was thinking about that. Yeah. I was like, how did I do that? And it was like, not just one day. It was like every single day.
Yeah.
And then now like the thought of like going out is like, I'm like, okay, maybe I'll do it once every 2 weeks or something. But even then I'm like, I'd rather just stay home. So
yeah,
it's interesting.
No, I like the word that you use. I think being mindful of how you spend your time is more important now than ever. And I think I'm so aware of that, mm-hmm. that I try to create that like mindfulness in my brain, but then I feel like I'm dropping balls and I need to prioritize. And yeah, it's a constant battle, but I am mm-hmm. a work in progress on prioritization, just like many of us. So that's top mm-hmm. of mind. For me right now.
Totally. But do you think you are happier now as of today compared to 2019, 2020?
Yeah, I think I am happier. I think that one thing, you know, the time in 2020 and 2021 taught a lot of us is like, what really matters at the end of the day? What matters is your family, your loved ones, your health. And I think that I feel lucky that I have a lot of those things mm-hmm. in my life. And I just have to constantly remind myself that that is really what matters. It's like the relationships that you value, the health and body that enables you to do things like writing behind the mm-hmm. vision or unhinged, right? So I think it's just being aware that you're lucky in that regard. And I should do better about reminding myself.
Well, I think you're doing amazing. And I think like it's interesting because with this podcast, you know, I sometimes reach out to people randomly. Some of them I do know personally, or there's people like you where it's somewhat like a stranger, but we have had coffee and caught up. And then there's just this instant connection.
Absolutely.
And
I remember that conversation.
I was like, oh my God, I feel like we shared similar vibes, similar values, and like just energy. And I think like, again, I just love that we both share this huge love for New York City. And it goes beyond us being New Yorkers. It's about like giving a platform to other New Yorkers to speak their truth and their story. And yeah, I just reconnected to you in that way as well. So absolutely. I'm so glad you were here to talk about, you know, your book and just about a little bit about who you are with my audience. But right now is your chance to plug away. I don't know if you're working on anything else, like, I don't know, like a secret project that you can reveal. But right now, what can the world be on the lookout from you in the next year?
Yeah, well, I feel like I don't have any other secret projects. And mm-hmm. I, again, on the topic of being mindful, I'm trying to limit my side hustles these days.
Totally.
So main plug will definitely be Behind Her Vision.
Yes.
I think it makes an amazing gift. You can find it in stores all over New York City. Hopefully mostly any bookstore you could walk mm-hmm. into and you'll see it. And then of course you can purchase it online through Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, any indie bookshop store as well. So I hope that you can find yourself in this book somewhere and resonate with one of the takeaways or stories that we have. And hopefully yes. It'll be on your table as well.
Absolutely. And it's black and white, just like the typical New Yorkers. Like, I love it. Okay. And one more question before we fully wrap this up. What is the one thing you love most about yourself?
I appreciate that I have a muscle that enables me to have a vision and bring it to life. I think that I feel confident, especially after working on this project, that I can really create an idea and make it happen and actually be able to hold it in my hands one way or another. And I'm really proud of building that muscle and finding the perseverance to make things happen.
I love that. Nobody has ever mentioned that. And I love how you utilize like the word muscle, because it is something that we all like have to constantly work on.
Yep.
So it's a beautiful, is it analogy? I'm like, yeah.
You love that too. I see it firsthand in your podcast and your book. And I think that's what makes engagements like this so special.
Totally.
Right? Interacting with folks who have that mindset.
Yeah. Of course. And I love this conversation. And I'm sure anybody who's listening or watching, you guys enjoyed it, picked something beneficial from this. With that being said, Ashika, thank you so much for being on my podcast. And everybody, make sure you expand on the show notes of the podcast and make sure you follow her. Get the book. It is so beautiful. Even if you don't keep it, give it as a gift. You know, the holidays are coming up. I think it's a beautiful gift for that. And just keep it in your table. But thank you so much. So stay tuned for next week's episode. All right, bye.